You know, as we go through this month and we think about what God really did for us, man, I want us to just be thankful. You know, the Bible says that he has spoken more words than the sand. Not just the sand on a beach, but we'd have to gather up the deserts and we'd have to gather up sand piles all over, and we'd have to know that God spoke more words than that over your life and over who you are, because he loves you so much. And so tonight, I pray that we're just going to have a worshipful atmosphere tonight. And I pray that you just step into intimacy with God. Just step into that place of just being thankful and just being worshipful tonight for his goodness as we enter into this Christmas season. And then we're just going to spend some time with the King. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God.
You, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Every mistake, waiting into the sing us out tonight.
Be my heart's obsession, first and only in my life. In your love alone, my soul is satisfied. Be my heart's obsession, first and only in my life. In your love alone, my soul is satisfied.
You sing it.
Be my heart's obsession. In your love alone, my soul is satisfied. Be my heart's obsession, first and only. Sing that one more time. When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. Can't get enough.
adore you, Jesus. You walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, begins to rise, 'cause there is resurrection light in all you do. We love you, and we'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get.
Clap of praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. What a great worshipful time to spend in the Lord. Before I go any further, is there anybody here tonight or anybody that knows someone that that you're praying for that has had severe toothache or something problem in their gums or something like that? Anybody in here tonight? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, maybe I just completely missed that one. Amen. But it's okay. Somebody out there, I was praying for somebody earlier today that the Lord put on my spirit, just somebody that was having tooth and problems, and so I was just praying for that. Hey, I would like to tell everybody that tonight after service, they're going to be setting up for the ladies' Christmas party. So if we could get a little help to manage a couple tables and some stuff like that, that would be wonderful if you're able to do that tonight. And then the other thing I'd like to say is that boy, we're getting excited because, man, the Christmas Eve party's coming up. People are going to be, Christmas Eve service is coming up, and people are going to be singing, and that is going to be powerful and wonderful. And I'm just thankful that we got some things happening. And so we're going to go ahead and release these kids. Did I do it earlier than I normally do? All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I just want to speak for just a moment to you guys that are faithful givers, and that's all of you out there. And I just want to remind you that, like tonight, I'm just going to speak to you about this because I want you to know that we have tithe and offerings, and within that, we have seed. And what I mean by that is that sometimes there's an action step of faith that you should release within the realm of your finances related to something specific. And I hope that you already understand that and that you do that. But I'm probably going to be speaking about that over the next couple weeks. And let me tell you something. It does not have to be money for money. I want you to know that right now I know a lady and her husband who have been saved now for 30, 40 years together, 50 years together. And what was powerful was is that it all started by not just a seed faith alone, but she had been praying for her husband who was not saved, and she was just writing out a check for her offering, and the Lord said to her specifically, hey, release this as a seed for your husband. And she said, what? And she released that seed as a seed for her husband. The next week, she had a trip out of town, and guess what happened that following Sunday? Yep. He came to church, and he got saved. And I got to tell you something. Over the years, there have been things that I have just released my faith for concerning my seed. Now, some of it has been related maybe to getting a car or something like that. But I want you to know that many times when I release my faith and I release a seed to the Lord, I might have something that I'm praying for or believing God for that is in no way, shape related to that, but that's how seed works. Remember when the Lord called the prophet to go to a lady who had just lost her husband and she had a child and it was just him and her, and he said, I need you to go there because this lady already knows you're coming, basically. And when you get there, you're going to let her make a cake for you. And how is it that he could make a cake, she could make a cake for a prophet and all of a sudden supernaturally change the whole parameter of her financial future? Amen? So just make sure that when you are releasing your seed and that when you are tithing and when you are offering, don't be afraid, especially if God puts it on your heart, don't be afraid to thank him for something or to pray for something that you're releasing that over, okay? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, God, for your goodness. And God, tonight we just pray over tithe and offering, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you that your hand of blessing is upon your people. Lord, I thank you that promotion is coming to them. Lord, I thank you that bonuses are coming that they don't even know about. God, I thank you that pay raises will come upon your people. God, I thank you that your provision is overflowing into their lives, God. And Lord, I just thank you that money is going to come from places they did not even know. And Father, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just sitting here at your feet and worship you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I decided that tonight I would change the title of my message. What in the world? Software update. I thought that tonight I would go ahead and change the title of my message since last week was so uncomfortable. So last week I said, you know, that we need to judge ourselves. So this week I'm going to say, judge who? Well, I'm still talking about you. Praise God. Hallelujah. But before I get started tonight, I just want to tell you something that I think that we need to remember. Grace is God's ability to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And I just think that throughout this night, I want you to remember that grace is God's ability to do things for ourselves that we cannot do on our own. Amen? Because that is just who he is, and that is just how he does things. And first, I want to just start with a couple things. And I want to go here to the book of Mark. And in the book of Mark, I want to read just a few scriptures to you for it says in Mark chapter 7, verse 8, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And you said unto them, full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy mother and father, and whoso curseth father or mother, let them die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it's Corban or it's okay, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever you mightest be profited by me, you shall be free. And you suffered him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered. And many such things do you. I want you to know something. One of the biggest reasons why we've really got to be able to hold ourselves account, because really that's what the Bible says. When the Bible sits there and says, hey, you ought to judge yourself, it is not judgment in the way that the world says judgment. First of all, I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about this kind of stuff, because I want you to understand something. That when the world talks about judgment, it's a condemnative judgment. Even in the body of Christ, if we're not careful, we can get ourselves into a position where we are in the same type of judgment the world puts on people. And we're going to look at an example of this before we finish up tonight, just so we're clear. But let me tell you something. One of the worst things a Christian can do is look at somebody and close the door on them in their heart, so to speak, as though that person has no value and no potential to be saved. Oh, come on, see. Sometimes I tell you what, even if someone has messed up a multitude of times, it does not give us a right to sit there and think that that person has no more opportunity to be saved. Now, if it's someone that has an addiction problem or some kind of issue and things like that, we might have to put safeguards around us, and we might have to limit our interaction or do some things that way that we have to make sure that we're being sensible. But in no way, shape, or form should we ever be looking at people and closing the door on them as though they have no life potential, they're not ever going to be anything, they're just done, they're going to go to hell, or whenever we start thinking like that, and whenever we start giving up on people, then that's when we're using judgment the wrong way. Now, I want to go back to just a minute because the Bible says this, which is very, very critical for us to understand tonight. The Lord himself was preaching, and he said, you make your man-made traditions to cause the word of God to be of no effect. And see, this is one of the main reasons why I talk to us about judging ourselves and checking ourselves. And this is one of the main reasons why I want us to really deal with our past in terms of let it go. Say this with me. Say, my past, I'm going to let it go. Because if we don't let our past go, we're not going to be able to attain the future that God has for us. And one thing that the Bible was clear on is that men make their traditions to cause the word of God to be of no effect. Uh-oh. You know, I'm just going to put these kinds of things out here just for a minute. You know, if we're not careful, we will believe in our tradition more than the word of God. You know, you got people in this world that give thousands of dollars once someone's dead, believing that they're going to be raised from the dead or get to go to heaven because they gave thousands of dollars after they already have passed. I want you to know that kind of stuff is not helpful to anybody. Listen, if we're going to make our life right, we got to do that with Jesus right here, right now, before we ever leave this earth. Amen? The Bible is clear. It says that today is the day of salvation. Amen? Not after I've already lived and after it's already over. And I also want you to know something else, that when it says that we make the tradition of men of no effect, if people live under the tradition of what they taught and what they learned just culturally or in society or maybe within their own family that has a tradition of not serving God, those people could find themselves keeping that tradition to the point that they never find Jesus. See, if we're not careful, we can have our tradition so ingrained in us that it can limit God's ability to touch our life. Just like this, if I don't believe healing is for today, and I just choose to make that my stance, then guess what? I limit my opportunity to ever see what the Lord could do if I have a situation. Amen? So we've got to make sure that that is a very powerful term. You make your tradition of men to cause the word of God to be of no effect. And let me tell you something. This isn't just big groups. Uh-oh. Who are we judging tonight? Uh-oh. So when we start looking at that, the truth is we got to hold ourselves account to the fact that I've got to make sure that I am not allowing my tradition and the way I think to supersede the Word of God. And this is one reason why we've got to really make sure that we take the time and the effort to make sure that we are looking at ourselves and we're looking into that mirror and we're looking forward and we're looking around us. And then here is the other reason why we want to make sure that we're doing this. I want to look here. And Jesus is talking and getting some of the first people saved. And he's really got his ministry wide open. And he's moving. And he's out there. And it says that while he's preaching and doing stuff in the book of John, it says that verse 29, John 8, 29, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Uh-oh, boy, that's a whole nother sermon. Amen? Do we do always those things that please our Father? Well, hallelujah. "As he spake those words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." See, one reason why we have to judge ourselves, and I told you, the biggest way that you're going to judge yourself is by the word of God. See, you're not judging yourself by the world's way. You're not judging yourself by man's way. You're not judging yourself by your own way of thinking. What you're going to do is you have to judge yourself by the word of God. And one of the biggest reasons why you want to do that is revealed right here, because Jesus says to these believers who believed on him, the first question they had for him was, "What should we do now that we believe?" And Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Uh-oh. Praise the name of the Lord. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, that's a Jesus-friendly scripture right there. I can come and talk to these two guys because they're pretty tough. I got a question for you. What does that scripture say to you and I? If we, Jesus said, now that you believe, if you can be my disciples, if what? If you continue in my word. Amen. So it is safe for us to say that if we're not regularly in the Lord's word, and if we're not regularly in pursuit of him, there could be a question about our true discipleship. Amen. There could be a question about who we really are and if we are. Because he says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So that lets us know that if we don't continue in Jesus' word, what are we not? His disciples. Now listen to me. Every one of us are going to struggle. Listen, I promise you that there are times in our life, even with me, there's times where I have said, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to spend this much time. I'm going to do it every day, da-da-da-da-da. And I tell you what, I did not put that out there with wrong intentions. I do not put that out there to lie or be untruthful or to not do what I had set out to do. But I will tell you that part of the issue you have is that when the minute you take a stance, especially when you are trying to grow and especially when you want to move forward from where you were to where you can be in God, the first thing that's going to happen is the enemy's going to come and try to steal your commitment. He's going to try to steal your word. He's going to try to steal what you have given to God. Amen? Amen. But I tell you what, that just because you fall down one time, I thank the Lord that he says, yea, a righteous man can get back up seven times. Amen? I tell you what, yea, even eight times, I'm ready to rock and roll. Amen? And so what we need to understand is that sometimes you're going to give your best commitment to make sure that you are following the Lord and to make sure that you're saved and you're going to do all those things, but you're going to have some rocky moments. But even though you'd have rocky moments, guess what? You've got to make sure you try again. You've got to make sure that you get up and pick up again. You know, tonight, I was going to say this, but I just feel like saying it now. I think tonight we're just going to pray that there's just some areas of our life that just never overtake us again. You know, there's just some, I feel like people are holding on to some past that the Lord just wants to shatter off of you once and for all. Whew, man. I'm telling you, the God is good, amen? I tell you what, our Father is filled with love. Boy, my iPad is new, so I'm not as easy. I can't flow with it as easy, so I'm getting better at it, but we might have to just keep flowing with it for just a few more weeks here. Hallelujah. But I just want to look here at Romans chapter 8, and I want to share something with you that it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. I want you to know that whenever you read a scripture like this in the Bible and it says they are the sons of God, that means the sons and the daughters of God. And I want you to know something, that here is another reason why we have to stay in the Word. Here is another reason why we have to so-called judge ourselves or hold ourselves account. Because if we're going to be led of the Spirit, guess what we have to have in us? Absolutely. And guess what? We have to have knowledge and wisdom of what the Spirit of God expects us, because that is the only way that we will know that we're really being led by him. Amen? You know, we could go through some things tonight. I remember that before I was saved, when I grew up, they said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And my dad said, boy, if you ever lose a tooth, I'm going to beat you twice when you get home. I expect you to win. Man, Dad, I love you, but that was not a good teaching. Hallelujah. But why do we want to know for sure what the Word of God says? Because that is how we're going to know that we're led by the Spirit. Amen? Now, what's so amazing about the Lord is that He has grace and mercy on you wherever you're at. I can remember when I was just a brand new Christian and I would just open my Bible. It's like the Lord would just lead me to something that I needed to know and something that was important for me about changing my character or my nature. And He just does those types of things. And God, when we ask Him, He will help us and He will lead us through anything in any situation that He needs us to. And one thing I want you to know is that another reason why the Lord needs you to be in the Word of God is because you're no longer just an earthly being. You're a quickened spirit. Woo! Listen to me. You are still attached to your natural self, your natural body, because your natural human being isn't bad. God created it. But this is what happens when you get saved. You move from being body, soul, and spirit to being spirit, soul, and body. And for the very fact that you are repositioned by the Spirit of God, you need to make sure that you are filling yourself with those things that are part of heaven. Amen? I want to read something to you here just for a few minutes. I want you to see here. That the Bible says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Woo! Boy, that's strong, isn't it? I looked at this last week, but I wanted to look at this again because I wanted you to understand something. We've got to make sure that when we read these words, we don't read them from a natural perspective. See, when we hear that the Lord says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, sometimes we're thinking just everyday natural knowledge. He's not talking about 1 plus 1 or 2 plus 2 or A, B, C, D, E, F, G. The Lord is talking about the wisdom and the knowledge that only comes from the realm of God. See, I want you to understand something. God's people are destroyed because of a lack of supernatural wisdom and knowledge that can be delivered to them every day if they would just reach out and receive it. See, some of us right now are going to work and we're under stress because we've received a job by the grace of God, but now that we've been there for a while, we have forgot to embrace the very things that we did to keep that job. See, I want to remind you that there was one time where I received a job and it was a promotion from God, and it was way more money, and it was a good position, and buddy, I was going along, and all of a sudden I started realizing that every day I was waking up in the middle of the night and I could not go back to sleep. And I would not go back to sleep. And man, all of a sudden I had to start praying in the Holy Ghost and reading the Bible even to be able to get to sleep at night. And I was sitting there going, what in the world's going on? And it was in the month of August, which is our anniversary, praise the name of the Lord. And I got to tell you something, on our anniversary date, I was driving into work, and one thing I had started doing again was praying in the Holy Ghost in the morning on my drive to work. And all of a sudden, the Lord just spoke to me. John 5:30. And you know what that says? I can of my own self do nothing unless I ask the Father to do it. See, sometimes we forget and we act as though Jesus just walked this earth doing what he did just because he was Jesus. Have you forgotten the book of Mark chapter 1, how he went away to pray? Have you forgotten the book of Luke chapter 5, how he went away to pray and he came back and the presence of the Lord was there to heal? Did you forget the time that the disciples were supposed to be praying with him so that he could bear the burden of the cross and they all fell asleep and eventually he prayed to the point where he was strengthened by angels? Amen. Did we forget that he sweat until he bled? See, if the Lord himself needed not only to judge himself, he didn't judge himself. What do you think it is when you go before the Father and say, Father, if you would, take this cup from me. But not my will, let your will be done. Amen? If Jesus was willing to go for the Father and be talking to him and asking him, how much more so do we think we need to go? How much more so do we think that we need to spend our time with the Lord and being willing to go before him and ask him point blank and directly, Lord, what should I do here? Lord, help me. Lord, teach me something that I need to change and learn about myself that would be better. Hallelujah. I want each and every one of us to just think about the goodness of God and think about the greatness of God. And listen, I want you to know something. You couldn't expect to receive more mercy. You couldn't expect to receive more grace. You couldn't expect to receive more goodness than going before the Lord himself. Let me just show you right here an example of going before the Lord and how good he is. John chapter 8, verse 1 says this, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down, and he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And when he had stooped down and wrote on the ground again. And they had heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even into the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Wow. You know why I wanted to use this scripture for us? I wanted to use it for two reasons. Number one, if the Lord would be so gracious to someone who was caught in the very act that is wrong today and wrong then and was punishable by death at this time, if the Lord would be so gracious towards them, how much more gracious would he be to you as you pursue him? I want you to think about that. Sometimes we judge ourselves so hard, especially when we make mistakes and when we fall down and when we back up and when we fall into situations, we judge ourselves so hard. And we should judge ourselves. I'm not giving us a pass on sin. I'm not giving us a pass on those things. But what I do want us to understand is that if the Lord would judge this woman with such grace, how much more so would he judge you, a son or a daughter, with grace as you pursue him? Even when we find things that are wrong with ourselves and we say, oh my gosh, Lord, I do that. Oh my gosh, Lord, I do have a pride problem. Oh my goodness, I do have an anger problem. Oh my goodness, Lord, I thought I had forgiven him. Oh, Lord, I thought I wasn't bitter about that. Oh, Lord. Lord, I thought that I was above that. I thought I had grown past that, Lord. But listen to me. The Lord will give you grace. And then the other thing I want to bring this out to you is that this is what it takes to really judge somebody in an honest way. See, this is where the Bible says, don't judge. When those people were bringing her in there just to prove a point and trying to get Christ to kill this woman caught in adultery, that's the kind of judgment we don't want. See, what Jesus was doing was the whole time, as soon as he saw that woman, he knew that she was going to become who he said she could be. See, Jesus was looking beyond where she was in the moment, and he was looking to her potential, and that's why he let all those guys sit there, fall away from judgment, and then he says, hey, where are those that accuse you? And he says, there's none here. Now, did he say, go ahead and continue living the life you want to live? Go ahead and stay in adultery? Go ahead. No, he didn't say anything like that. He said, go and sin no more. And what he was telling her is that he saw her Jesus potential. He knew that she was just like us. If he could get to her and have her be saved, Jesus knew that she would turn around and live a life that was no longer an adulterous, freelancing life out there, but it would be a life that was committed to him. That's why he said, go and sin no more. Amen. Boy, that's good stuff, ain't it? Praise God. But listen to this. Right now, when you read that story, you don't ever have to be afraid of what's in your heart. You don't ever have to be afraid of what you're struggling with. Not that it should be there. Not that it's good. If someone's struggling with pornography, that's not good. If someone is sitting there and they're just depressed and they're just discouraged and they don't even like themselves, that's not good. That's not God. That's not what the Lord has for us. Not what the Lord has for you. And so, real quick here, I just want to go to our scripture that reminds you that you're supposed to judge yourself. But I want to go up just a few verses because I want to read something for you. If you did not notice or not, the first week, this scripture I'm reading to you is about the communion scripture. This is the very scripture where we take the blood and we take the, you know, symbolically by taking juice, and we symbolically eat the body of Christ by eating the piece of bread that we get. And in this scripture, it says that many are sick and hurting because they do this and they take communion without considering the seriousness of it. And so this is where it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I just want to read this for us, because it says in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this drink, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, what I want to talk to you about just for a minute is the fact that we should live in a day and in a way that we're always able to take communion. Because it's not just at that moment that we should be remembering the blood and remembering the body of Christ, but it's throughout our life on a day-to-day basis. That's how we should do this thing. Amen? And if we would just judge ourselves, read the word, hold ourselves to account, and let the Lord touch us and bless us, then we could always live in that way of knowing that we're walking with him. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now we just declare your glory and we declare your blessing, Father. Lord, I declare your blessing upon your people tonight. And Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. We're gonna say these prayers here. And then I want to play a little worship because I want to... Hey, here it is on live stream. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we put this family member before you, God, concerning this tooth pain. And God, we just curse this tooth pain. Lord, I just loose the working of miracles and healing to flow into this situation right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we put Mary before you, and Lord, we curse tooth pain and issues, Father. And Lord, we pray, God, that, God, these things would be resolved, God. And Lord, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, right now, we pray for Kansas and for Kyle and for Jaden. Lord, and we just curse COVID, Father. And Lord, we just ask you in Jesus' name to touch this situation. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, you know, I just want you to know that tonight I really felt that the Lord is telling me that there's just some things he's going to just remove out of us, some long-term stuff and just some things from our past that we're still holding on to. There's just some things, maybe some traditions and way of thinking that we were just holding on to. And the Lord's telling me that he just wants to cut us away from some stuff because he just wants to move us forward and really give us an opportunity to have a future. Amen? So listen, as the music plays, if you would, I want you to just come up here for a few minutes, and I'm just going to pray and just let your faith, your action step of faith, be an action step towards God. And I believe that God's just going to do something for us, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise God. Father, we just declare your glory, God. Father, I pray, God, that if people come up or if they stay in their seat, that, Lord, you are just moving on these things, God. Lord, I saw, Father, in the realm of the Spirit that there are just weights that you're lifting off of people. God, there's some burdens about the past that have just lingered on people for a long time, God. And Father, you're just lifting things and cutting things away, Father. And Lord, you're just pouring out your Spirit, Father. And Lord, you're just blessing and touching. And Lord, I just thank you in the name of Jesus that you're just healing and setting free. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Your face, come and make your throne.
down. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy ground. Show us. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Wondrous surrender we fall down. Show your glory, show us your glory, and every burning heart be holy round you. Not by power, not by might, only by the cross we come alive. Here we heaven's love revealed before our eyes. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Wondrous surrender we all down. Show us your glory. Show us your glory.
Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender we fall down. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy
Jesus, you change everything. Lives healed, hope smiled, healed now. Jesus, you change everything.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm telling you, I'm just believing people are just leaving here with weights lifted off of them and limitations lifted off of them and the future wide open for the blessing and the goodness of God. Amen? Amen. God bless you.